Hallelujah. That he goes before us in all things. Hallelujah. His presence is with us in this place today. Hallelujah. His presence. We pray over the family and that God's presence is still surrounding about them in every way. And there was a scripture in my heart this morning, and it's found in Psalms 29:11. And praying this over the Savelle family, over our church congregation, and all those that are associated with this ministry. And it says this, that the Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Father, we just thank you for your strength. We thank you for your peace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have a covenant keeping God. And we are relying on and leaning on what we have heard year after year after year from our apostle, the founding pastor of this church, that God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we just rejoice. We rejoice in your faithfulness. We rejoice in your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Let's give him a shout of praise for his faithfulness this morning. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. Hallelujah. That God's peace over every single one of us. The peace of God over you this morning, Miss Carolyn. Peace of God. That peace that passes all understanding. You know, he says, it's my peace. It's my peace I give you, and not as the world gives. The world doesn't have this peace, but it's a supernatural peace. It's a force. Hallelujah. And I believe it's quickening every family member and quickening every heart that's connected with this ministry. Amen. We'll give him one more shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn to someone, give them a high five, give them a hug, tell them how good it is to see them. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for being here today, and hallelujah. Man. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Man. What an extraordinary tribute to Dr. Savelle on Friday. I want you to give a hand to Jerry Ann and Terry for how they constructed everything and honoring your dad in that. Hallelujah. And Preston, what a masterful job you spoke on behalf of all the grandchildren. Give Preston a hand. And I know she probably wasn't prepared to do this, but she said, I think I'm supposed to and has something to share. And Jerry Ann, we want to honor you, and we want you to share something that's on your heart about your daddy. Give Jerry Ann a hand. Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. This is his last notebook. He was supposed to preach here today, wasn't he? So this would be the Bible he was preaching from in the notebook. I didn't want to speak. Justin asked me, and I just didn't think I was ready. But I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was the word. This word came to mind that Daddy said began his faith walk. And it was John 8:31-32. It says, if you continue in my word. And that was the word I felt I wanted to say to you today. That we're going to continue. That the heritage of faith, what he developed in us. I'm his firstborn. It goes deep. It goes way deeper. So what you're feeling right now, magnify it by 1,000 times. But I believe, friends, it's our responsibility to continue what he taught us. You know, you heard us Friday. He taught Terry and I that Savelles aren't quitters, that quitting is not an option. And there were so many times in my life I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. And he would look me in those brown eyes and he'd say, Jerry, you're not a quitter. You have my DNA. You're a Savelle and we don't quit. So I'm telling you today, church, you're his heritage, and we don't quit. In Jesus' name, everything, every vision that he laid out for this church, we will continue. Without a vision, the people perish. There is vision. The vision doesn't go die when my daddy passed away. We still have vision. If daddy was here, he would want to brag on his great-grandbaby. So I'm going to bring my granddaughter up here just so you can see her. Christian, you want to come up too? Wouldn't he be showing off his great-granddaughter? This is Jerry. Her name's Jerry Savelle. Hi, baby. So my grandpa was Jerry Wallace Savelle. My daddy was Jerry Jr. Savelle. I'm Jerry Ann Savelle, Preston Jerry Savelle, and Jerry Rose Savelle. I just thought I'd show her off because I knew daddy would. Hold on. Oh, I already got it out right here. There were so many times in my life when life got hard. And as a little girl, I would climb up in his lap. I didn't care. I'd just climb up in his lap. And as a teenager, I'd climb up in his lap. And as a grown woman, there were times I climbed up in my dad's lap. And the words he would always say to me were, Daddy will take care of it. And I knew everything would be all right because my daddy would take care of it. He painted such a beautiful picture to me of what my heavenly father is, that my daddy will take care of it. I see myself at this time climbing up in my heavenly father's lap and knowing that daddy's going to take care of it. I am living right now in the shelter of the Most High. I find my rest right now in the shadow of the Almighty. And he alone is my refuge and my safety. Last Sunday, it was Saturday night, last Sunday morning, I got a really good night's sleep Saturday night. But right before I woke up, and nobody can convince me otherwise, my daddy came and talked to me. Right before I opened my eyes, I heard his voice. And he said, Jerry, you're going to love it here. That's the way he said it to me. In the most peaceful, beautiful voice. I knew it was his voice. And it brought such peace to my life. At that moment, and continues when I just close my eyes, I can hear his voice. You're going to love it here. It's put such a stirring in me and such a passion that I want to go harder and faster and stronger and get the name of Jesus out there to a dark and hurting world so that we can all get out of here and go home. I'm passionate. My husband said the same thing. He said there's this passion on the inside of him to lead people to Jesus. He led his sister to the Lord this weekend. The stirring to continue in the faith. Daddy had a word from the Lord for us, and he shared it with you. You were his kids. He gave it to you and then took it to the world. And we all know it. In 2024, we're progressing. We're advancing. We're experiencing promotion. And we will see our highest expectations fulfilled. Well, Daddy received that in 2024. He got the ultimate promotion. He got the ultimate advancement. And he is seeing his highest expectations fulfilled. But you and I have to keep decreeing and declaring and confessing that we can have what the Word of God said that we can have. I'm not giving up on that word for my life. And I refuse to repeat it and just repeat it with no faith behind it. I will speak those words with faith. So I encourage you, don't lay down. Don't quit. Keep expecting. Keep decreeing. Keep declaring that you will experience everything that God wants for you. Daddy went out preaching that. He wanted that for you. So don't lay down. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep speaking it. Keep declaring it. I want to encourage you to go back to every message, starting from the last time he preached here, and listen to him. I can't yet. I'm not ready. I can't do it yet. I will. But go back and listen to the last one and the one after that and the one after that. Because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So continue to have his voice and the word of God that he spoke for you to be going off in your spirit. Every day. I play the word every day. So continue in the word. Continue to listen to that word. Daddy's last sermon, it's in here. He's got it marked. He was talking about going from glory to glory. I don't have my glasses. He says that the glory is greater manifestations of his presence, his power, and his goodness. That's what Dad was proclaiming over every one of us, that we would see the glory of God in our lives. So I just encourage you, don't get off your faith for that. Keep looking for that faith to faith and glory to glory. I received a message this morning on my social media. I've received thousands, but this one impacted me so that I wanted to read it to you today. That even in Dad's passing, he's still steering others to faith. This man wrote me and said, "As touching as the funeral was, it supplied something to my life that I've overlooked for a number of years now, the basic faith message. I've gone through all the motions, but have never been more excited about Jesus and was cognizant of walking in love than when I ate, drank, and breathed the word of faith. I started going through my library yesterday, and I'm rereading my old books and pulling the Favor of God CDs out to listen again. So even in Dad's passing, he is saying to all of us that the just shall live by faith." Isn't that awesome? That doing a homegoing service, someone got something out of that I need to get back in faith. That's the way Daddy went out. I'm going to miss him so much. You know, when people would say, my dad's the best. I'd say, oh, no. You don't understand. My dad's the best dad. I'm going to miss him so much. But I believe that it's my job and your job to continue this heritage of faith that he taught us. Amen? Amen. I want to thank every one of you for the love that you've poured out on our family. We have felt it. We felt the prayers. Thank you for the meals. Thank you for everything. Just from the bottom of our hearts. The praise team, we didn't want any other group singing up there at the service but them. So thank you so very much. I love you guys.
Today is still a day to honor our founding pastor. And Lord put it on my heart, man, about a month or so ago, the Lord told me to go back and preach the basics of faith. And that's what we've been talking about the just shall live by faith. And we have a number of guests here, and I wish I had a chance for all of them to share something because I know how much each of them impacted. If you're an international director, if you're an international pastor, or you're a PC member, could you please stand to your feet? We want to honor you. If you're Chariots of Light, stand to your feet as well. If you're Chariots of Light. Amen. Give them a hand. You can be seated. And I wish I had a chance for each one of them to be able to share something. And you're not in a hurry today, are you? And I just been spending all week just seeking the Lord on what today needed to look like, and just believe that the Holy Spirit would deposit riches into our heart. Not just, like I said, this has nothing to do about putting a man on a pedestal, but it's about honoring a man of God that deposited something eternal in each one end of our hearts. And so there's just a couple scriptures I'm going to go to, and I'm going to have a couple people say things, a few people say some things. And first scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and you can also find Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Father. Now, as I communicate this story with you, I do not want you to receive it as I'm trying to single myself out as someone special, because you're going to hear, I want you to hear what I'm about to say, because there's so many of us that fall into this category. In 2012, I would always meet with Dr. Savelle at the beginning of the year, and I would share things with him about where the church is going and things that are in my heart. I never just did things on my own. He's the founding pastor, him and Miss Carolyn, the apostle of the house, and so I'm not here to do my own thing. My here is to serve the vision that God gave through him and Miss Carolyn. And I've had people ask me, so are you going to go start your own church somewhere? I'm like, no. The Lord said, this is where I'm called to be. And it was in 2012, and we're sitting around a table, and at that time, you know, he would minister, you know, we were kind of back every other Sunday, or he'd be like two Sundays, I'd be a Sunday, he'd do three Sundays, I'd do two Sundays, and he was here still majority of the time. You know, at least over at least 20, 28 Sundays a year. And on this particular year, the Lord just spoke some things in my heart. And it's one of those things when you go to him, it's you don't want to just go and say, this is who I am, and this is what I am, and this is what I'm called to do. That's not who I am. If you know me, that's just not who I am. And the Lord said, you need to say this to him. And I'm like, really? And so I go in this meeting, and we're sitting across in his conference room, And he said, well, go ahead and just share, you know, I'll share what's going on with the church, share what direction you're going. I said, well, Dr. Savelle, first, I want you to say this. The Lord told me to tell you that I'll be your Timothy and what you called, and fulfill whatever you're called to do. And he looked over and he had on his notes and he goes, the Lord told me you're my Timothy. This is in the same meeting, and that was the Sunday. He slid this paper across the table, and it just had a bunch of numbers on it. I'm like, what is this? He goes, That's how many Sundays I'll be there next year. And it was 8 Sundays. And so there was a transition. I'm so grateful that he gave me the opportunity to grow into this position that what God's called me to do. I mean, I'd only preached 4 times in my life before then, and they called me the red-faced preacher. And my mom would say, he gets so anointed when anointing comes on him, he turns red. I said, no, Mom, that's fear. That's fear. That's all that is. And so you got to know that Dr. Savelle is a great man of faith to put this red-faced preacher that couldn't preach himself out of a wet paper bag, in this role, and just trust God to grow into this. And so I count it an honor. And so when he said, I believe God's told me I'm your Timothy, and he came back, well, the Lord told me you're my Timothy. And it was like, well, whew, thank the Lord, you know. But I'm not saying that to put myself on a pedestal, because as I look through in this room, and people have had the opportunity to work with, work under, serve under, work alongside of, serve, I see a room full of Timothys. And this is a scripture I know you've heard a lot recently in these last 2 weeks, but in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, it says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." You're not going to find another man that poured his life out to fulfill the call on their life more than Dr. Jerry Savelle. You talk about pouring himself out in kindness, pouring himself out in the word, hearing him tell stories when they'd be on vacation and everyone else is doing things. He's up in his room, you know, preparing for another message, preparing for another sermon. When everyone else is doing things and playing and having fun, he's getting ready for something. Why? Because he's pouring himself out into the call upon his life. Now let's go here in Philippians 2. And we're going to hear from some. And I do have Pastor John and Sharon, who pastor Heritage of Faith, South Africa, he's going to be ministering a word to us as well. In Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Now think about that from Dr. Savelle's perspective. You know, when you're around your boss, you're always more apt to do things when the boss is around, right? But he said, how much more in my absence? We know where he is. But at the same time, he goes, the things that I've taught you, the things you learned, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Meaning there's some commandments, there's prophetic words, there's things that God has deposited on the inside of us through him. And here he says, it says, it's not just about whether I'm there, where you're going to be, but just much more now that I'm not there. And he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both the will and to do his good pleasure." Meaning you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, meaning is you're not doing it in your own ability. Meaning what God's called us to do and carry on what he began in each one of us as ministers, as a church, is working out in fear and trembling. But then he says this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." And this is the chariots of light scripture, "of whom you shall shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain." Dr. Savelle did not run in vain. Dr. Savelle did not labor in vain. Meaning he started something, he deposited things in our lives, and he didn't do it without a purpose. He poured his life out for a purpose. He didn't do it in vain. And then it says this, "Yes, and if I am being poured out." Paul uses that same terminology again. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on a sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly. What was the commission? He hadn't run in vain, and he says, if I'm being poured out, and he goes, I trust that Timothy, the Lord's going to send Timothy to us, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state, for I have no one, talking of Timothy, I have no one like-minded. I believe this is a room full of like-minded. I believe Dr. Savelle said, I had people around me that were like-minded. Walter Enns, you're like-minded. International directors, you're like-minded. David Stowe, you're like-minded. Tony, you're like-minded. Savelle family, you're like-minded. Eric and Nikki, you're like-minded. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Man, Paul put a lot of trust in Timothy, didn't he? For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Then it says this, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ. I'm not in ministry to seek my own. Are you? But verse 22 says, but you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. I'm so grateful, and I count it an honor that I got to serve with him in the gospel. And we, as a church full of Timothys, we're a rare breed. We're not in it for ourselves. I'm not in it to exalt Justin Bridges. I'm in it to exalt Jesus. I'm in it to carry on the legacy of faith that was deposited on the inside of me. And if I could have... would you like to share something? You don't have to, but if I could have the international directors go ahead and come up. John and Sharon, you can wait for a second. If you want to come on up. David Stowe, I'd like you to come up. Jeff Rauch and Sharon, how many years have you served in England? They oversee our UK office. And how many years have you been with Dr.
30 years.
30 years. Can you give a hand for 30 years? Ian, if you want to come up too.
I've just realized I'm standing behind the pulpit, the special pulpit for me. Can I say something?
Yeah.
I first met Brother Jerry in 1994. We're celebrating, as you've already heard, 30 years. Brother Jerry was a precious, rare, one-of-a-kind friend, mentor, and he was my best mate. I got on so well with him. I remember a special visit we had to Budapest, Hungary. Brother Jerry had been invited 20 years earlier than when I went with him, just as the communists had left. There was no church building available for Brother Jerry to preach in. So the pastor, his name was Pastor Sandow, hired a cinema. And in the cinema was a ground floor, but right at the back was a balcony. And as Brother Jerry ministered, they were jumping from the balcony to get to the front to be born again. That was the impact Brother Jerry made on the crowd. A faith church was born in Budapest. Brother Jerry sowed a seed and the faith church was born. I had the honor to return with him 20 years later. There was only one key speaker, and that was Brother Jerry. But 40,000 people showed up for the meeting. 40,000. I've written down, that's increase by association.
Thank you, David. I was like, where are you going?
Well, David and Wendy, they pastor Heritage of Faith Family Church in the Outer Banks, North Carolina. Also, David, as well as Jerry Ann, were in their first inaugural Bible school in this room, and you got here right before the Bible school started, and they put you to work to paint. And when I went over to JSMI, David was my first boss. So, thank you.
Praise the Lord. he turned out all right. I'm reminded as I walked up here, the first time that I ever walked up to this podium, Brother Jerry called me at 4:30 in the afternoon and said, I'm not going to be able to do my class in the morning. I need you to do my class. Certainly, I felt like he made a grave mistake. And, you know, of course, I knew in my heart the right answer was yes. But when I got off the phone, I started hollering and screaming, no. But anyhow, the rest is history, thank God. When we came to the door this morning, Miss Betty Lynch greeted us at the door. And she said, you and Wendy have such a precious, precious marriage like Brother Jerry and Miss Carolyn. I said, when we walked to this door for the first time 30 years ago, that was not the case. But the testimony is, because of Jerry and Carolyn Saville, we have a beautiful marriage. Their life in ministry, I mean, there's not enough time to tell everything that needs to be told. I just say it this way. The Saville house, Saville's feet will always be beautiful in the Stowe house. The Lord gave me a word, and it was opportunity. He shared that with me just a couple days ago, opportunity. Then when you said something to me about coming here and speaking about coming to this door for the first time 30 years ago, nearly be in August, it'll be 30 years ago. We stepped to this door. Our thought was, we're going to go see where this Bible school is that we're supposed to be going to. We packed up our four kids, and my wife and I, we drug our kids out here sight unseen. Had no clue what we were getting ourselves into. All we knew is that God said go, so we went. And we showed up here. The pews were out in the parking lot. This place, they had just purchased this place. It was a mess, to say the least. And my whole life was formed that day because I had to make a choice. I could have said, what's up with this, man? I came here to go to Bible school. I don't need to do all this work. But the Holy Ghost gave me an opportunity. Mm-hmm. The opportunity was to sow seed. And as Justin said, I painted this first time that Saville's owned this building. I painted this place. And little did I know that when we went back home to start our church, we went there. Listen to me. We went there with zero, nothing, mm-hmm. nothing. And my cousin sitting right here, he'd just built a building. And he said, David, you painting this building for me? I said, sure. Had no idea how we were going to sustain ourselves, how we were going to start the church or anything. And the next thing you know, contractors, as I was painting his building, contractors day after day were coming by and said, we want you to paint this, we want you to paint this. Long story short, next thing you know, we had a full-fledged paint business going. See the seed sown, right? And now two of my sons are in the paint business. They have their own paint businesses. So that seed of obedience produced the finances to get our church sustained and to sustain our finances. But I'm here to tell you today, if I could sum it up in a few words, supernatural increase in restoration.
Amen.
Increase by association. Amen. Those are the words, those are the statements that Dr. Jerry Savelle made that got in our heart, got in our spirit. And I'm not bragging on me, but what God has done for us financially is beyond my dream, beyond anything we ever could have imagined. Supernaturally, that God put us in position, put us in place, and caused things to happen that still today I'm still shaking my head and say, how did that happen? I know how it happened. When I walked in that door 30 years ago, I was given an opportunity for that to happen.
Amen.
Are you hearing me this morning? Amen. So I want to say this to your congregation. You have opportunity. When you came to this door the first time, you might not have understood it. And I'm going to say this to you, too. When I went to work for Brother Jerry, man, somebody, every time I say something, brings up another thought, you know? They're not in a hurry, you said, right?
Yeah. Honor doesn't have to hurry, so.
Yeah. Yeah. 30 seconds, get started. When we showed up here, we were a mess, to say the least. We were a mess, or I was. My wife, she was all right. It was me. It was the mess.
You didn't have to tell us that.
So I'm saying to this congregation, this church, and anybody that goes to church, the greatest entity that exists in the earth is the local church. And you have opportunity. When you walked through this door for the first time, you had an opportunity. God hooked you up with this ministry, with Jerry Savelle Ministries, Heritage of Faith Christian Center, because he had a purpose in mind. He had a thought in mind. He had a destiny for you and a plan for you and a purpose for you.
Yeah.
And here's the thing I want to say to you. Over the years, you know, going to work with Brother Jerry, at first I thought, man, this is really wonderful. But then you go to work. And then things aren't so sweet and things aren't so fun. But the fact of the matter is, and the enemy will come to try to do everything he can do to distract you and to pull you away from your destiny and the plan he has for your life. Mm-hmm. There was multiple times that I said, Lord, I've had enough of this. And then I had come to, he said, did I call you here or not? I said, yes, sir, you did. And things, Brother Joe, man, Brother Joe was a thorn in my flesh.
I think mine was Jeff Edwards.
Brother Joe required things of me. Little did I know he was teaching me and training me. I had the attitude, well, Brother Jerry wouldn't do it this way. Then I had come to the conclusion that, you know, if Brother Jerry hired Brother Joe, then I had to listen to what Brother Joe said. And listen to me now. I want you to hear this. Until I came to the place where I said to the Lord, I'll do anything anybody that ministry staff tells me to do. And that day, literally, there was a transformation in the spirit that took place. I changed that day.
Yeah.
When I made up my mind that I'm going to serve Brother Joe, Brother Jeff, whoever it was, and do whatever they asked me to do, and do it with the right spirit and the right heart, and literally something came on. I literally felt something come on me that day when I made that decision to serve with the right heart.
That's it.
It changed everything.
It did.
Changed everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He's good, man.
He is.
Sir? Ever since?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He first loved me.
By faith. just raise your hands, Jeff Edwards. Raise your hands, Jeff. Jeff was the general manager when I first came here, so he was my boss, and Joe was the international director at that time, and you know, so I served under him. And actually, when the church was first started, I think if Miss Carolyn or Dr. Savelle said, we as a church are going to do this, Jeff was the we. And because he was instrumental in starting the church. So we want to give you a hand. Thank you, Jeff.
Woo! Yes, sir. There was a lot of privileges along the way, too, you know. I got to drive, you know, you saw a lot of pictures of Brother Jerry's cars. There was times I got to drive those cars, take them to the garage and get them inspected and get tires put on, whatever the case. So that was always a thrill. And he one of his first garages he built, he asked me to remodel it. I got to paint it and put tile in it and make it look like a race car, you know, all those fun things. I was, if I remember right, Jerry might have another story, but I was the first person around here that got to fly on Willie when Brother Jerry got Willie. Because I used to get to fly all over America with Brother Jerry, go to all the different churches and stuff. What an honor, what a privilege it was. I do have a scripture I want to share real quick. There's so many memories, so many thoughts, again, that just you could go on and on. But 48 hours before Brother Jerry passed away, the Lord gave me a scripture, and I was preparing for the church service that Sunday, and I thought it was for the service. And I even read it in service, and I think it didn't make any more sense to me then, and it didn't now. But here's what it was. And I preface it with this. Brother Jerry, Dad, you have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness in purpose, thought, and action. You have hated lawlessness and injustice and iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with oil, the oil of joy and gladness beyond all your companions.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you. Ian. This is Ian. This is his wife, Diane. How long have you been working with?
26 years.
26 years and on the Gold Coast in Australia. Been running the offices there, pastor yep. churches there.
Yep.
Also, if Peter and Christine, you're watching, they pastor Heritage of Faith in Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah. We've got one in South Australia, and we've got one in Papua New Guinea, and one in Thailand.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you start. Two things, and I thought it was all the ones I've never heard as many people. I think it was over 50,000 people watched the service on YouTube. Two things that I felt, you know, with 26 years from the moment we met Brother Jerry and we started working for him, people used to ask us whenever we met them, what's he like? What's he like to work for? And Diane and I had a standard phrase, and it was, he treats us like gold. Mm-hmm. And people would look and say, what do you mean he treats you like gold? Well, gold is valuable and precious. And that's how Brother Jerry, for 26 years, treated Diane and I. We started off as employees and become family. And now we're his legacy. To be able to show him, and that was our job, we showed Jesus to the world. But Brother Jerry, from the first moment we met him, it was that feeling of I want to represent him well. Mm-hmm. To show people when they think of us and when they think of Jason, I think of Brother Jerry in the same manner. And it was one of such honor. And he was the same, you know, he used to tell us off, or he only ever told me off once, and it was so nice. I heard that story come
we
up from
somewhere
else. We
might have to clarify what telling off means, because it might be different here.
I'd actually wish that he'd gone and said, Ian, you really? No, he didn't. He made you feel so bad because he was so nice. But you've heard so much about him. I really felt this morning, and I was thinking about it last night, if you had asked me to say something, is to leave what he said, making winners in the game of life. And as we opened the offices in 1998 in August, and I can picture it now, we went into the boardroom of our offices and we sat down and he began to talk to me and what we're doing and how we're doing and what the tour is progressing. And then he said, Ian, what are we believing for? And I said, Brother Jerry, we believe about. We got about this, and he stopped. And he said, about? And I said, okay. He said, Ian, my faith does not work on abouts. It works on specifics. We took that, I jumped up, went into my office. I had a budget because Brother Joe is Brother Joe McCroskey. Have a budget or you don't get anything.
Yeah.
McCroskey. So we always needed a budget after that. But that one phrase is, if you get a hold of it, since 1998, I have never forgotten. And as an office, we always would be budgeting with specifics because he said, now I know where to aim and focus my faith. Mm-hmm. And in 26 years, every single tour, no matter what happened, no matter how big, no matter how small, didn't matter about the offerings. He never was interested in that part. Mm-hmm. It was always at the end of the tour, if you like. We were keeping him informed. But 26 years, we always came out in front and above. Mm-hmm. Because he would focus, we would sow seed, and we would bless. Mm-hmm. And so your faith, to make us into winners, 26 years we've had the same thing.
Yeah.
Focus on the specifics that you want. Ask him. Mm-hmm. And it is not about, it's not, he never ever played games, did he?
Mm-mm.
Never played games when it comes to his faith. And we were so grateful to him and to our daughters. And the one phrase, just for my daughters, we have our children now nearly 50. And when they first heard Brother Jerry, was 25, 26 years ago, and he preached and he mentioned this phrase. He said, you know what? We've got to leave an inheritance to our children's children. Brother, my daughters fell in love with Brother Jerry at that moment. They were sitting behind me and they said, Dad, did you hear what Brother Jerry said? I said, well, go speak to Brother Jerry about it. But he imparted, amen, yeah. The word that turned us into winners, amen, in the game of life, amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Kathy. So how long have you known the Savelle family?
1985. Mm. So quite a while. Mm. Yes. I didn't meet Dr. Savelle, but I met my husband, Juan Juarez, in 1977. My very first date with him, he took me to a church in Riverside, California, where the speaker was Dr. Jerry Savelle. And so in 1985, he was our very first speaker at our church in Delano, California. Mm. And he said, I never heard of Delano, California, but he knows where Delano, California is now. Mm. And in 1986, we were invited to go to Africa. And Miss Terry, Jerry, you were on that trip. And that is where the president's cabinet was birthed. And so we have been lifelong association covenant people with Dr. Savelle and the Savelle family. And I know that my husband absolutely loved Dr. Savelle. He would have done anything for him. He just had such a great respect and honor for him, as do I. And I'm so thankful. And after 13 years, after my husband went home to be with the Lord, for 13 years, Dr. Savelle came to our church and sat on our board and gave us wisdom and imparted to us knowledge and wisdom and just guided us through to where we are today.
Yeah.
I and our church will forever be grateful to him.
Thank you.
We will forever be grateful. Words can't even express how grateful we are for him and for you guys allowing him and giving him to the world. I don't think I would be here today if it was not. I know it's God, but we're honoring a man, a great man, a general in the faith.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would be here today if he had not imparted to us, Pastor Justin, just the wisdom to help us through those years. And I'm so thankful. And I'm not going to read this scripture. I just wanted to read this phrase that he was preaching a sermon, and he said, you have one chance to make a first impression. but you have a lifetime to make a lasting impression.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for that impression that he left in my life. And I think everyone, we are all enriched and strengthened, and our faith is big because of a wonderful general that preached to every single one of us and imparted such wonderful words of wisdom.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you, Miss Jerianne and Miss Carolyn, if you are watching, and Miss Terry, thank you so much. You'll just never know. And by the way, could I just say to you, Miss Carolyn, you mentioned that when you and Dr. Savelle were married, that you went to Six Flags. And I was telling Pastor Leon, I said, oh my gosh, when Pastor Juan and I were married, we went to Six Flags. Because we didn't have any money to go anywhere else. So we went to Six Flags. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Kathy. Thank you. Now there's two more before Pastor John and Sharon come up. Walter pastors Heritage of Faith in Canada. Him and his wife Karen.
I wrote some things out.
Okay. You have like 5 pages there.
Well, no.
I'm just kidding.
I wanted to start first of all by honoring you, Miss Carolyn, for being a praying wife. Thank you for praying Brother Jerry into the will of God for his life. We've all heard the story that preaching the gospel and going to Africa were not in Jerry's plans for his future. It's not what he wanted to do, but he had a praying wife who knew how to pray. And my life, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of others, have been forever changed because you knew how to pray for him, and you prayed him into his God-given calling. So thank you, Miss Carolyn. And every time he was in a meeting or in a service somewhere, we saw him, we heard him, we fellowshipped with him. But behind the scenes, he had a faithful wife who was praying for him back home. Thank you, Miss Carolyn, for all that you do, you did, and are still doing behind the scenes. I want to honor you for that. Thank you. Brother Jerry's life and legacy will forever be a part of me, my wife Karen, and Heritage of Faith Christian Center in Canada. I want to be just like Brother Jerry, the way he was. He was kind, he was humble, he was generous, faithful, loyal, and caring. And you all experienced that about him. He inspired me to always reach for new levels, to keep growing and to never quit. Making winners in life, we've heard about that so often. It was Brother Jerry's testimony. He became a winner in life. And I've been listening to the message he preached at the 55-year anniversary service back in February. The whole message is about the kind of example we are to others. And he said in the message that our lives are like a letter being read every day by others. He said, people like following winners. And it's true. No one wants to follow a loser. The reporters don't go into the loser's locker room. And this is one thing that attracted me to Brother Jerry. I saw in him someone who was winning in life, and I wanted to follow his example and experience what he experienced. God took someone who, in his own words, was failing in life, and he made him a champion. God made him a winner in life. First and foremost, in the kind of man he became, in his character. And I thought, if God can do that for Jerry Savelle, he can do it for me. Like I said, he was a very kind, generous, caring, loving, humble, gentle, and faithful person you could ever meet.
Amen.
He had a passion for God and a passion for souls. My life is forever marked because of Brother Jerry's life and his legacy. One funny story before I close. One time when Brother Jerry and Brother Joe were in Winkler, we were driving back to the hotel after lunch on Sunday. I was driving, Brother Jerry was beside me, and Brother Joe and my wife Karen were in the back. And Brother Jerry and I were having a conversation, and I was so engaged in the conversation that I drove through a red light. Karen noticed it right away. She said, "Walter, you just drove through a red light." Then Brother Jerry hit me in the arm hard, and he said, "Yeah, the light was red." He said, "You don't stop for red lights in Canada?" He said, "This story's going to go all over the world." And then he said, "No," he said, "what happens in Winkler stays in Winkler." That's what he said. And I was feeling very bad about what I had done. But you know, after that, I never heard about it again. I love Brother Jerry. I still do. He's my example. I'm following. My mentor and my leader. Miss Carolyn and all of the Savelle family, please know you have a family in Canada who loves you dearly and who will continue to pray for you. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Bill and Ginger oversee Chariots of Light. And while he's coming up, I do want to acknowledge Linda Sue. If you stand up, Linda Sue oversees the office in Canada.
Hallelujah. Well, if you forgive me, I found something better than a tissue. Hallelujah. Our story began, hallelujah, before the foundations of the earth. But Ginger, when we met, she and her took me to a convention center in 1983 in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and she said, "I want you to hear these men." And one of them was Brother Kenneth Copeland, and the other one was Jerry Savelle. And you know, I was just new in this, really new, and I just was going after her. And and so I'll admit to you that Brother Copeland at that time was a little bit much for me at that time. And but I got caught. I got caught right then. And then when Dr. Savelle came up, Brother Jerry Savelle, he introduced him. It's like something just went off on the inside of me. And I told Ginger at the end of that service, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I said, and there's many, many words that we can describe him with. There's no one word.
No.
But that one word started right then in me, and it was honor. It was honor. And I said, it would be an honor to serve that man. I didn't know him. I just heard him for the first time. But that came out of my mouth. It would be an honor to serve that man one day. Just to even meet him, just to get to know him. And that's the first time I heard it. What an honor that we have. What an honor that we have had. And then from that moment on, we became partners with Jerry Savelle Ministries, and we've been partners ever since. And Ginger was a partner before we became partners, and then we partnered, and but ever since. And then, you know, and then in 1999, and I know he's many things to you. He's everything to you. Ms. Savelle, he's the love of your life. Jerry Ann and Terry, he was your daddy. He was the greatest daddy there ever could be. You know, to many of you, you know, he's you could call him your dad. To many of you, you could call him your pastor. There's many of you that's called him the apostle. There's many of you that's called him a prophet. But I call him the doctor. And I have been his patient for many years. And he has operated on my heart for years and years and years. And he's continuing to operate on my heart today. But he is the doctor. He's a specialist. He was a specialist for all of us all over the world. And he's so special to every one of our dear hearts. And there's many things we'll do for him and carry on the legacy. And Ginger's family has a heritage as well of gospel music. And one of their songs is "There's a Shouting Time in Heaven." And I'm going to tell you, he's joined the shouting congregation in heaven.
Amen.
And he's cheering us on in a great
Amen.
Way today like
Amen.
Never before. And there's many more seeds that has to be harvested
yes.
because of that today. And that's what he's in that shouting time again now.
Amen.
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 And then in 1999, my daddy died. My daddy died. He was my best friend. And you know, I never called Dr. Swell my dad, but he's my doctor. Because I had a great dad. But I know I was crying out to God, just like I've been crying out, you know, ever since I found out this news. I've been crying. I've been a mess, just like many of you. But I was crying out to God. I was riding down the road in my pickup. I was crying out to God. I said, Lord, I know you're real, but I need you more to be real right now than any other time of my life. And just a few days later, he said, go buy a motorcycle. Now, I didn't know what this was about. I didn't know what it was about. He just said, buy a motorcycle. But it created freedom in my life where I was hurting, where I was, or things that, you know, just the things in the world where I was hurting. It created a freedom back in my life. And then the next thing, Dr. Jerry Savelle came to Clemens, North Carolina, and he preached a message. This was in 1999. And then in 2000, he came and preached the message. I done got my motorcycle. And then right after that, it was 2001, he talked about this thing that he was going to do in Thunder Over, Texas. And we'd already joined Church of Light. I found out that Jerry Savelle, we joined Church of Light in 2001. And I found out that, you know, said he was a man of integrity, honor. You know, we're going to do this. And we just started doing it. It started for fellowship, right, Jeff? Fellowship, relationship. That's what we all started out with, fellowship, relationship. But when Dr. Savelle, when God gave this ministry to Dr. Savelle, he gave him the word of God.
Yeah.
And I found out when I heard Timothy this morning that we're all in that chapter of mm-hmm. Philippians 2.
Yeah.
We're all in there together. We're all in that chapter together.
Yeah.
We're all in there. And then when he gave that scripture to Dr. Savelle, it was based on the word of God. It's based on fellowship. It's based on relationship. Everything about God is based on that. But he went to Brother Copeland with that word. And he said, I believe God's telling me to raise this ministry up. You know, this ministry of Chariots of Light. And it's Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a perverse and dark world. Where you shine as bright stars. We're going to be his stars
right.
now.
Right.
He's been our star. We're going to be his stars now, shining out bright all over the world.
Amen. Right.
And we didn't know. We had no idea what this was going to be. Mm-hmm. We had no clue what it was going to be. And now thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have come to Christ now.
Yes, thank you, Father.
And he's the one that preaches on the seed.
Yeah.
But there's a harvest in every seed.
Yeah.
And we have a harvest. We have to harvest every seed for him.
That's it.
Every seed. And so, praise God. Praise God. I'm almost done. You can never get done. I said, what's your favorite story with Dr. Savelle? It's like his, people would ask him, what's your favorite motorcycle? The one I'm riding at the time. What's your favorite story? The one I'm telling at the time. The one I'm telling at the time. And so we were in our... Brother Copeland told Dr. Savelle that he thought this was going to be a unique end time ministry. And when he said that in one of our leaders' meetings, I thought, that went off on the inside of me. You know, the word of God goes off on you, right? When it goes off on you, it's supposed to come out of you. So I thought, if it's an end time ministry, then it's supposed to last till the end of time.
That's it.
Because it's a great harvesting machine for the kingdom. And Dr. Savelle raised this up, coming from California on an airplane, Philippians 2:15, the chariots of light. It's what we do. It's what we do. That's what he said. Amen. It's what we do.
Amen.
So my one story is, as many, but this one that the Lord put on my heart this morning. In 2015, we were doing our chariots leaders meeting, and we were actually going to Sturgis that year, and the whole that year was a 75-year anniversary. And that 75-year anniversary, I told Dr. Savelle, we're going there. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people coming. I said, wouldn't it be cool if we could win 7,500 people to Christ? Now, we've never come close to anything like that before, ever. I think most of the at that time was like 3,300. And immediately, I just said that to him. Immediately, Jerry, he stands up and tells everybody, hey, y'all, Bill said, this year is the 75th anniversary of Sturgis, and we're going to win 7,500 people to Christ. And I thought, oh, my God.
Did I just say that?
Right. What am I going to do?
Right.
What did I do? I did what the doctor said do. Yes. I was his patient. And so I went to his word. I went to the prayer of petition. And we wrote out a prayer of petition. Everything we were asking, everything we had asked for, everything we wanted to happen, we wrote it down. And we sent it out to everybody. Pray this prayer with us. Man, I prayed it several times a day. And we got there. And then, you know, we started ministering with our 9 days. 9 days. And the first, you know, few days go by, even pastors were starting to doubt me. Man, it's bad. It's fun when your pastor starts to doubt me. But anyway, it's like, what, these numbers aren't going to happen. And then that day, one day on Wednesday, everything changed. Ginger had pulled a scripture out of that prayer petition that stood predominant among all the other scriptures, of all the other scriptures. And it was Ephesians 3:20. And I'm going to read it in just a second. But anyway, that day things changed. That day we went out and our team, the team of glory, led over 1,000 people to the Lord. The next day, 1,100 people came. Yeah. The next day, 1,200. 5 days in a row, over 1,000 people came to the Lord. And at the end of that outreach, we didn't win 7,500 people to Christ. The glory of God, 14,000 people got ministered to.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
9,200 people came to the Lord. And this was the scripture. This was the scripture.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take my glasses off this time. I'm dried up now. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. I've been listening to everybody. And something Miss Carla said last week really went off into me. Everything you said goes off in me. This has got to go off. But Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified Class, it says, now to him who by consequence. It said Jerry Savelle was a man of great consequence. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. A great consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us. It's in working within us now.
Yeah.
It's all working in us now.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams.
Amen.
We love you, Miss Savelle. We love you, Jerry Ann and Terry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. You know, I woke up yesterday and I called John, and I just knew. I just knew the Holy Spirit has given something specific to Pastor John. Pastor John and Sharon have been with Brother Jerry. He'll let you know how long. I could throw out a number there, but I know it's up there over more than 25 years. But I just knew, and they pastor Heritage of Faith South Africa, and I just knew there was something in his heart that he needed to share with us. So just stretch a little bit, and let's welcome John and Sharon Dixon.
Amen. I'd like you all to stand with me, please. And just before I share the word for a few minutes, I would like you just to turn to someone next to you, say, I'm glad I'm family. And then turn to someone else and say, I'm glad I'm family. And then you may be seated again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just share a scripture with you from Luke chapter 24, verse 15. And the scripture is, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads like this. There were two men walking, and they were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. The Bible says that they were prevented from seeing that it was Jesus or recognizing that it was Jesus. And they had this whole conversation, and Jesus shared the word of covenant with them. And they ended up breaking bread together, having communion together. And when they came out of the communion moment, Jesus was gone. Verse 31, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them. Many years ago, the Lord shared a message with me that every time he's going to do something on the earth, he's going to call a messenger. He's always going to call a human messenger. Sometimes, very occasionally, he will send an angel or a supernatural being. Mostly that happens because there is some divine moment that God wants to share with us. But for the most part, he sends a messenger. And when he sends a messenger, he will always give the messenger a message. That message becomes something valuable to us because it's always for our deliverance and for our abundance. Always. And so I'm grateful that God sent Brother Jerry as a messenger to the world. He didn't just send him just with words. He sent him with a message. And he will tell you and has told us many times that he would be known. And God told him early on, very early on, that this message, this thing that would be on his life called favor, would be known around the world. And of course, we know that songs have been written about him as Mr. Favor. Right? And I thank God that he was willing to go with a message, because certainly, I think for all of us here, the message brought deliverance. Yes. And it has brought abundance. Yes. And I thank God for that. Yes. Something else the Lord showed me some time ago, and some years ago now, and I was reminded about it this morning, that not any one of us has a place on the earth because it just is by mistake. You are here today because God wanted you to be here. You're in this body because God wanted you to be in the body that you occupy. So if he brought you into the earth, then he considered you to be a messenger. He didn't just send you to the earth to live and die. He sent you to the earth to be a messenger. And so you might say, well, as a messenger, and the message that I have is not as grand as Brother Jerry's message, and I'm not as grand a messenger as Brother Jerry. I haven't been able to go the places and do the things that he has done. Well, I've got news for you. If you're here and you've partnered with him, you have. And if your part was to be a messenger that came to be part of what Brother Jerry was doing, everywhere he's gone, your message has gone with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that puts us in a unique place. And we have, all of us, every single one of you, have an ancient path that you have supposed to walk. If you feel you've gotten to a place in your life and maybe you haven't yet found out what your ancient path is, and ancient is a path that is before ages. And so I'm not going to speak very long, only about an hour. But, you know, ancient means it's ages ago, and it's something that happened probably before you were born. And I mean this on purpose when I say this. Before you were born, God had a path for you to walk. And so when you are born into the earth, you start a journey of discovery. And your journey of discovery is to discover where you can hear God's voice so you can find your path that he predestined for you to walk in before you were born. And so if you're here and you're part of Jerry Savelle Ministries and you've become a partner of Jerry Savelle Ministries, or you're in Heritage of Faith, your ancient path wasn't because, I just thought maybe I'd partner with Brother Jerry. No, God had an ancient plan that he would send a messenger with a message, and he needed you to be part of the message. So he said, come, let the two messengers join together so the message can go to the world. And your ancient path ain't done yet. His has gone for the moment to be in eternity, and we are left to walk still part of our path that we must walk. But we are still together as messengers that have a message to carry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I got some things I have to share, and thank you for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, Justin, and asking me to share this. I would never have done that for myself, but because he phoned me and asked me, I consider this a great honor for me to do this. Can you imagine how valuable and precious Jerry Ann and Terry and Miss Carolyn were to Brother Jerry? Can you imagine how precious they were? He constantly left them to go and preach a message because he was a messenger. Why would he leave something so valuable behind to go and share a message somewhere else? How much value must that be for him to leave the value at home to go and be and do something somewhere else? What is that thing that is so valuable that Brother Jerry would leave the wife of his youth and the wife of his and the love of his life and his daughters? What was that thing that was so valuable that he would leave them to go somewhere else? Can I tell you? It's you. It's you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Church. It's you. He left the value that was so precious to his heart. He left them for you. For those that are watching on YouTube or television, he left them for you. Because Jesus said, I've got something that's so valuable to me that I died for them. I gave my life for them. I came from eternity for them. They are valuable. They are prized to me. They are a possession to me. I have given my whole life for them. Jerry Savelle, will you go and make the church what I need them to be? Hallelujah. And Brother Jerry said, I'm here, Lord, send me, send me. And so he fly. He had to go with his airplane many places because normal transportation couldn't take him where he needed to go. You know, he came for you and for me. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Jerry, he's stopped walking on the earth. His ancient path was predestined for him before time. And thank God for Miss Carolyn. That when she married him, she said, I know you're going to go and preach the gospel to the nations. And, you know, when Brother Jerry found his ancient path that he was supposed to walk in, he has, from that moment till the moment he went home, he didn't stop for 1 second. He just kept pushing. And he said, I've got one more message to preach. I've got to be a messenger to one more group of people. There are still a people that have to be heard, that have to hear what I've got to say because I'm a messenger. God has sent me with a message. I've got to go and preach this gospel. I've got to get the good news out. I've got to go. Hallelujah. What is this thing that is so amazing? Well, the love of God is what drove him. Yes. He loved his Father. He loved Jesus. He loved the Holy Spirit. And he loved the Word of God. Yes. And the love of God is what drove him. Amen. How else could you leave such valuable relationships behind and go and preach somewhere else? You can only do that if you love the Father, if you love God. That's the only reason you can go. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way. And he said, though I am the least, Ephesians 3 verse 8, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasure available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. And because of this, we can be bold. We can be bold. And so, then he writes in verse 20, now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and forever. And so, I'm going to just recap for you. In 2010, Brother Jerry had a prophetic word for the church, above and beyond, over the top. 2011 was the year of the supernatural. 2012 was the year of fulfillment. 2013, the year of unprecedented favor. 2014 will be known as the year of the greater. 2015 will be known as the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations. Yes. 2016 was the year of the great breaking loose. 2017, the faithful shall flourish and it shall be like days of heaven on earth. 2018, days of glory, days of flourishing, days of abounding. 2019, marvels, wonders, and extraordinary manifestations of the greatness of our God. The year of 2020 was the year of supernatural increase.
2021 was the year of abundant overflow. 2022 was the year of the open hand of God, unusual, extraordinary, and supernatural provision. 2023 was the year of the maximum, the highest level attainable. And 2024 is the year of progressing, advancing, promotion, seeing your highest expectations fulfilled. Well, I don't know about you, but he's brought messages to us over the years, a faithful messenger that has brought the word of God to us. Hallelujah. This is our time to keep walking in the word of God and not let any one of these words. I don't look at 2010 and say, well, that was a year, a word that God spoke in 2010. When he spoke it into the earth, it became alive. It became active. It became working. And he spoke it forever. Not one of those words will return to him void without producing what it needs to produce. It's still working. It's still working in my life, and it's still working in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And I still go back and I look at these words, and I tell you, these words are going to keep speaking to me. So, what about 2025? What about 2025? Well, the messenger that God sent to give us a message for every year that has been, has gone to be with the Lord. But God has not stopped sending messages. He's just going to use new messengers. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That's good.
Glory to God. He's going to use new messengers. So, what is the legacy of Brother Jerry? I'm sure you're going to say, just like me, I am the legacy. I am the legacy. I want to tell you that it is my determined purpose. One day I was sitting in a room with him and he looked at me and he asked, told me three times, he pointed his finger at me. And he said, John, promise me you will never stop preaching the word of faith. And that time I said, yes, Brother Jerry, you have my word. I will never stop preaching faith. So I'm telling you, Jerry Ann, I will preach faith for the rest of my life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I will preach faith for the rest of my life. I made him a promise. That day I made him a promise. I will always keep preaching faith and I'll always stand for faith. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say one more thing. And that is, you know, when Brother Jerry started his ministry, I didn't know him then. And Joe and Joyce, thank you for serving him for so many years. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't know him when he was a young man, but he went on to, I believe the beach's name was Pismo Beach, yes, in California, and he preached to young people, and he got young people saved. I've got news for you. The faith message is not for a bunch of people that grew up with Brother Jerry and grew up with Brother Copeland, and the faith message is not dying with the generals that have gone before us. They started their preaching to young people.
Yes, sir.
And we need to be in a place where we say, Lord, we are messengers and we will carry a message. Now, I want to just say this, that you might feel like I don't have the energy to carry it to a new generation. But I want to tell you, there's a new generation of young people out there. They are desperate for this message. They are desperate for how to be successful in life, how to be winners in life, how to know what God's will is for your life. They are desperate for it. They don't even know how to have relationships anymore. How are they going to have a relationship with God? Well, they're not going to have any relationships until they get a relationship with God. We have got to be ready to take up what needs to get done. And if it means partnering with Jerry Savelle Ministries, if it means being part of Heritage of Faith Church and those people that will go and do it, then there's your answer. You know, what's happening to the young generation is that they are so insecure and unsure of what the future holds. Older generations have a lot more stability and steadiness. And they also have resources. You want to leave this earth with your resources sitting in a bank account? Or do you want to leave this earth with all your resources working for the gospel and getting young people saved? What are you going to do with more and more resources that fills up your bank accounts? And then you go to be with Jesus. What are you going to do with all those resources? They're all going to stay here. Why don't you take your resources and say, we're going to partner with Jerry Savelle Ministries. We're going to partner with Heritage of Faith Churches. And we're going to go and touch the world. We're going to change young people's lives. We're going to go to a generation after a generation after a generation after a generation after a generation. We're going to go after the generations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So yes, thank you, Pastor Justin, because there's a fire in my bones. And it's the fire of the God that brought me to a prophet of God that I walked with, a man that I identified so completely with in the way that he loved God and the way that he walked with God. I thank God he brought me to him. I would be amiss if I didn't honor the person who brought me to Brother Jerry Savelle. And his name is Pastor Ray McCauley. And Pastor Ray McCauley blessed me into my relationship with Jerry Savelle. I didn't leave Ray McCauley to go and join another ministry. I left Pastor Ray McCauley with his blessing. And he's still a man of integrity and influence in my life. And Brother Jerry and Brother Pastor Ray were very, very close friends for many, many years. And I would be amiss if I didn't honor him in this message today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus. Because I want to tell you, when they started their journey, they had a whole lot of people in mind. And you were on his mind. And he called them and he's raised them up. And Brother Copeland's still living and he's going to keep preaching as long as God's going to have him on this earth. He's going to keep preaching. But we are a new generation of messengers. And we've got a message that we got to preach to the generations. And it's the same message, maybe just a different way. Maybe just a little different way. Maybe it's just a different tool. But we got to preach the same message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world is waiting for us. The world is waiting for us. Pastor Justin, the world is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to go and touch them. And we are the next revival generation. We are the next revival generation. Jerry Ann, we are the next revival generation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Come on, church, you've got to give Jesus a praise. You've got to give Jesus a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, raise your hands. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Just praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I do this regularly in my church. And so if you're okay with it, I'm going to do it right now. I'd like you to take your right hand and put it on your heart. And I'd like you to make a declaration with me and say, Jesus,
Jesus,
I commit today
to be a messenger.
Use me, Lord.
Use my life.
Use my resources.
Use my world
to be a messenger.
I will carry the message
of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
To the next generation.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. To say, here am I, send me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for such a great man to follow. Thank you for such a great example that where Dr. Savelle said, follow me. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the things that are taking place in the earth right now. Thank you for the amazing things that are going to take place through Jerry Savelle Ministries in this next season. I thank you, Father, that you're giving them wisdom, direction, and guidance, Lord, as we go to the next level. Thank you, Father, for the trails that will be blazed. Thank you for the message of faith that still will be released. Thank you for the message of glory that will still be declared. We thank you for signs and wonders and miracles that will happen through the message and the messengers that come and will be released through this ministry. Hallelujah. So we thank you for it and we praise you for it, and we are progressing, we are advancing, we are experiencing promotion, and we're going to see our highest expectation fulfilled in Jesus' name. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to thank everyone for Jerry and the things that you shared, every single one that honored. Thank you, Pastor John, for the things that you shared. But go ahead and be seated just for a moment, and we're going to receive our tithes and our offerings. You know the different ways to give. I'm not going to do an offering teaching right now, but I want to read one last scripture to you to share. I want to share one last scripture with you. It's in 1 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, for though you might have had 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. You know, just as Pastor John said, Ray McCulley, I have to bring up my pastor, Jonathan Willie. You know, it's actually, that's where Dr. Will came and that's where I met him for the first time. And then Jonathan Willie sewed me to Crowley, Texas. And so thank you, Pastor John, for the great deposit you made into my life and directed me into this ministry. But it says here, for though you might have had 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Now listen to this. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Say, imitate me. Imitate. Then it says this, for this reason, I have sent Timothy. Who? I've sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and a faithful son in the Lord. Now get this, what does he do? He will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. What was Timothy supposed to do? Remind the next generation, remind the people, remind everyone the things that he taught in every church everywhere. So what are we called to do with Brother Jerry? We're to carry on his mission and his message. It was 5 years, 6 years ago, Pastor John asked me, and he just said, I was in the back seat, he was in the front seat, and he looked at me and he goes, what does legacy mean to you? And without thinking about it, I said this, it's carrying on the mission and the message. Carrying on the mission and the message. And that's what Paul was saying here, to say, hey, I'm sending Timothy, and he's going to remind you of my ways. That's the conduct, character, and everything about a person. But he said he's going to remind you also of the things that I taught in every place, everywhere. Amen. So we have an assignment, Heritage of Faith. Hallelujah. We have an assignment. All the ministers that followed him, we have a mission and a message, because we are the Timothys that will follow in his footsteps. Amen. You ready to give this morning? Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom. Thank you for thank you that you've given us even such a model of giving, such a man of integrity and generosity. And Lord, we will continue to model that aspect of living to give, and knowing that giving is the essence of living. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, you can receive the offering.